So this morning we're looking at John 2 and 3. This is the conclusion of the series we've been looking at over a period really of about 6 weeks. Lessons in life from John's letters. Of course there are three letters, all written by John, the same John who was the apostle who wrote the gospel and who put on paper the words in the book of Revelation. We've looked as we've gone along that the key verse is this one. Whoever claims to live in Christ must walk as he did. And it's in chapter 2 and it's verse 6. And Paul showed us very clearly walking in someone's footsteps this morning as the children and the parents walked down the church. Let's say this together. Whoever claims to live in Christ must walk as he did. And as we've been looking at this, we've looked at various aspects of walking. First week, we looked at walking in the light. And Paul highlighted this morning when he brought us into confession and spoke about those words from John 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. If we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Walking in the light. We then went on to walking in righteousness. If we're Christians, we ought to be walking in the right. No one who is a Christian keeps on sinning in the same way. Then went on to walking in love, that Jesus died for us. And if he loved us, we love him, but we also love one another. And we share that love around. The last time we looked in 1 John chapter 5, we thought about walking in faith. Walking along with God. Whoever walks with him, walks in faith. And this week, in the concluding thoughts, we're going to be thinking about keeping on walking. And these are thoughts which come not just out of 2 and 3 John, but really out of the whole of the letters, the three letters we've been studying, keeping on walking. And we're going to read in a moment from 2 John and 3 John, quite long readings, but let's pray and ask that God would speak to us through his word. Because that's the important thing. It's what the Bible says. It's not what the speaker says that's important. So let's pray that God would touch our hearts through his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, that one of the ways you've shown your love for us is in giving us your word. And we thank you for it. And we pray that by your Spirit, you'd touch our hearts afresh. And you'd write afresh on our hearts the things that we need to learn for Jesus' sake. Amen. And Gabriel is going to read 2 John. And then Rosie is going to read 3 John.
The Elder. To the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I... And not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings.
3 John. The Elder. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote in the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with the pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name.
As we start, a few words, firstly, about the letters themselves. There are similarities, and you'll notice it. Both of the letters start off with the elder. That's the way they wrote those days. They put at the beginning who it was from. So the elder was John. He gives a similar greeting when he opens the book of Revelation in Revelation 1:4. Then it speaks about the recipients, and we looked at 1 John, we said that the letter from 1 John was a general or an open letter to perhaps one church or more than one church, and was going to be passed round. 2 John and 3 John are specific letters. It's fairly certain, and I don't know whether any of you looked and wondered who the chosen lady is in 2 John. It's almost certain that it's not a person, but that it's the church. And the church is referred to as the lady. I mean, if you look at verse 13 in 2 John at the end, it says, the children of your chosen sister send their greetings. In other words, it's addressing to a specific church, to one church, from John and from another church. 3 John is obviously to Gaius, who's his friend. He could well have been in the same church as 2 John is written to. Don't really know. But it could well have been. Notice how both letters end in the same way, with John saying that I'm not going to write any more to you. They've both got the same number of verses. It's almost as if he's filled up a piece of paper and he's coming to the end. One piece of paper to each church. And he's saying, I'm not going to write any more with pencil and paper. What I really want to do is come to you and see you afresh. And he says the same in both of the letters. There's a slightly different theme, although the themes all merge together. But if you notice, the main statement, which comes up a number of times in both letters, is walking in the truth. But he also talks about walking in obedience. John says in this letter that he's overjoyed that at least some of them are walking in the truth. They've heard the truth and they're carrying on walking in that truth. And that's why he's writing this letter, to tell them, to urge them, to encourage them to keep on walking. And that's why this letter has been passed on to us. David Jackman says these words. He says, the most pressing question which clearly exercised John's mind and burdened his spirit was how these young churches were to be kept strong in the true faith, and how they were to maintain their priorities with both unswerving orthodoxy and vigorous spiritual life. That is why these two short letters were inspired, written, and preserved within the New Testament canon. In other words, they're for us today. They weren't just for these churches, but for our church here today at Sladebrook and other churches, that we might keep on walking. The difference in the letters are really the main point of the two letters, and they're completely contrasting. 2 John is written to warn the church against deceivers or false teachers. And it's saying, look, when you find these false teachers or deceivers, don't encourage them. Don't welcome them into your fellowship. And verse 8 is probably the key verse of the two letters, where it says, watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be fully rewarded. He wasn't saying that we shouldn't associate at all with people who have different opinions from us. But he says, don't welcome them into your fellowship. Don't be led astray by their deceit. Know what the truth is and follow the truth. 3 John was exactly the opposite. He was saying to Gaius, look, when brothers who are in the truth, brothers and sisters in Christ, come to you, do welcome them. There are obviously people who weren't, particularly this fellow Diotrephes, who was turning people away. There were brothers and sisters in Christ coming to them in the church, and they weren't giving them hospitality, they weren't letting them in. And here John is encouraging them to do that very thing. So the two themes are the exact opposite. Secondly, few words about walking in the truth. And in a way, it embraces the other 5 which we've looked at. Walking in the light, walking in righteousness, walking in love, walking in faith, walking in obedience. And walking in the truth is walking in obedience to God's words or God's commands, as Paul worked through with us earlier on. Remember John in his gospel, and you find over and over again in John's letters, he's echoing the words of Jesus, which he heard Jesus teach when he was with him. And Jesus, when he was praying in John 17, says, your word is truth. And he was encouraging them to walk in obedience to the truth that they knew. But also, if you look in 2 John and verses 1 and 2, it's really speaking in the same way about the truth as Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 particularly, but also all who know the truth, because the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. That's how he refers to the truth. Well, if you think back to John chapter 14, when he promised that he was sending the Spirit, He says, I'll send the Spirit to be with you. And he says, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit who will be with you and will live in you. So what he's saying is walking in the truth is actually walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And again, walking in the truth is walking as Jesus did, which is exactly the same thought we had in that key verse, which said, if anyone claims to be like Jesus, they must walk as he walked. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So we're thinking this morning about keeping on walking. We thought about walking in the steps of Jesus, following in his way, becoming like him. And this morning we're thinking specifically about keeping on walking. And again, note that verse, 2 John verse 8. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be fully rewarded. And John is echoing words that he heard Jesus say. At least twice in Matthew's gospel. It might be more, I didn't count them. But at least twice in Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks about walking in the faith, carrying on walking. And he says, he or she who perseveres to the end will be saved. And if you look in the messages in the Revelation, so the seven different churches, seven times in each of the letters to the churches, Jesus says the rewards are for those who overcome, those who keep on going, those who keep on walking. Keep on walking with Jesus is what John is saying. Despite what you see around you, despite those who come and try to deceive you, despite what the devil tries to speak into your heart, keep on walking. And you know, there are many things which can discourage us on this, Christians. We know the truth. We know where we should be going. But there are so many things. And you know, Jesus warned us. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Let me read you some verses from Matthew chapter 24. And Matthew 24 is when the disciples asked him what was going to happen in the future and in the last days. And Jesus taught them what they were going to face. And through all that, he said, you've got to keep on going. You've got to keep on walking. And it's Matthew 24, and I'll start to read it, verse 3. Tell us, the disciples said, when this will happen, and that was actually this destruction of Jerusalem, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ. Claiming I'm the Christ and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, Jesus never left us in any doubt. He never said, being a Christian is easy. You'll have no problems, everything's going to be all right. He told them what it was going to be like. And to keep on walking, as you keep on walking, you're going to face difficulties. It's not going to be easy, Jesus said. But I'm going to be with you. And in fact, here, first of all, the end times which Jesus was speaking about wasn't the immediate end times just before he came. It was the end times between Pentecost and the time when he comes. And we just don't know when Jesus is returning. But we know that he will. The New Testament alone states over 300 times that Jesus is coming back. We don't know when it'll be. And here, he listed four things that can discourage us. And I'm sure John, in this letter, was referring to these things when he was telling people to keep going, keep striving to walk in step with the truth. And the first thing which Jesus says in these verses are about false teachers. Verses 4 and 5. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. And you know, we do live in an age where there's so many different ideas going round. So many things that would draw us away from the truth of God's word, both outside the church and inside the church. I mean, most of us are familiar with radical Islam today and what's happening in the Middle East. And we can't go into a whole thing about Islam, but one of the central points of Islam and one of the things which is driving ISIS at the moment, and one of the things that they believe, is that Jesus will return. They believe in Jesus, they believe he was a prophet, they believe he will return, but they believe that when he returns, he convert the whole world to Islam. That's their faith. That's what they believe in. And as Christians, we have to stand against that and realise the truth. We come in contact all the time with the cults, most popular being Jehovah's Witnesses. We only have to walk through the centre of town and we meet Jehovah's Witnesses who don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe he's the saviour of the world in the way that we do. And we can be saved through faith in him. An exercise, if you want to use your computer, next time you put your computer on, Google Messiah complainant. Messiah claimants on Google. The list is endless, particularly in the United States. There are so many people who've come into the world and claim that they are the Messiah. They are Jesus. They're the ones who can save the world. Google it. It's an interesting exercise. Then you've got the atheists, people like Richard Dawkins, who think that science will answer everything. That the theory of evolution gives us the answer to everything. And you know, these people speak so loudly. They really do speak loudly. And yet Richard Dawkins, for one, is fairly pathetic. I don't know how many of you have heard him. We heard him, I think it was 4 years ago, when we went to New Zealand. He was on in Christchurch. And there was a meeting there. And we decided to go. And really, he wasn't convincing. He was pathetic. And there were numbers of Christians there who wanted to ask questions. And the truth was, what he did is he had people, couple of thousand there, but he had people planted on the ends of the rows with questions sympathetic to his cause. And he really wasn't convincing. And yet these voices speak out so loudly. And there are probably two reasons why the Christian voice is often muted in society today. And I think one of them is sometimes as Christians, we're pretty wimpish, aren't we? We We don't stand out for what we believe. We don't stand out up for the truth. We keep our mouths shut. And the other thing is that we're not given a hearing anyway. Often things, when Christians say good things, they're not reported in the press anyway. And no one hears about them. And so Jesus here is warning against false teachers, just in the same way that John has done. And he says, stick to the truth. Know the truth and walk in the truth. But there also, you can get false teachers within the church. That's basically what John was talking about in 1 John. He was talking about these Gnostics who had infiltrated the church and then gone out from them. And I think probably the most obvious false teaching within the church today is about the prosperity gospel, where people say that Jesus said, come to me. It's the American sort of super tele-evangelist who said, come to me, everything will be well if you follow Jesus. You know, you'll be wealthy, you'll be rich, you'll never be ill, there'll be no problems coming your way. That's not what Jesus said. And we've got to know what Jesus said and follow in that truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, lovely verses. If you want a memory verse today, that would be lovely. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In other words, we can be free to be what God wants us to be, free to serve him in the world today. So it talks about false teachers, firstly. It also speaks about human destruction in verses 6 and 7. It speaks about verses which are very familiar, wars and rumours of wars, nation rising up against nation. And I don't know how you feel when you see the pictures on television. It was the same again last night. It's the same night after night when they put it on. Pictures of Aleppo and Mosul and Gaza. The mess that men are making of the world that we've got. What's going to be left? People are fighting over things, and there'll be nothing left to possess at the end of it. We've been through a week of remembrance. And I'm sure some of you perhaps saw the remembrance wall in the National Memorial Arboretum with all the people who've been killed. Endless lists of people who have been killed. Jesus said this was the natural thing that would happen. That was what would happen because of men's sin. And you know, the two big questions which people ask is, where is God and what is God doing in all this? And you know, my answer to that is always, we don't know, but we do trust him. We don't quite know how God is working his purposes out, but we do trust him. 2 weeks ago, no, 10 days ago, I don't know whether the date sticks in your mind, the 9th of November. If you can think back, what happened on the morning of the 9th of November? Yes? Trump, that's right. Thank you, Paul. The announcement that Donald Trump was going to be President of the United States. And I went to a meeting in the Guildhall, and it was called Christian Action Network. And it was a meeting between really the churches together in Bath and Baines. And the keynote speaker was Justin Welby. And he was very good, very down to earth, very positive. But this is what he said. And he had got a message for that day. To speak at this conference called the Christian Action Network Conference. And he said, I've changed the message because I was staying last night at the Bishop's Palace in Wells, And I got up with the bishop this morning and we did the normal thing which Anglican bishops do, and we read through the lectionary, which had been set 20 years before. It's a 4-year cycle of readings. And so he said we sat down and read through the lectionary, which is what they would do at bishop level in the morning. And the reading was from Daniel chapter 5. And it was that time when Belshazzar was holding, the king was holding a feast, and there came writing upon the wall, and then Daniel was called forward to ask to interpret what had happened. And Daniel then spoke about Belshazzar's father, Nebuchadnezzar, who had been arrogant in the way that he'd talked about God. He'd been turned into an animal and set loose. And eventually he came back. And this is the verse that Justin Welby quoted on November the 9th, the day that Donald Trump, it was announced he was president-elect. Nebuchadnezzar was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them whom he wishes. Now make of that what you will. But that was the reading for the 9th of November. You know, in all the mess that we see around us, God somehow is working his purposes out. We needn't be discouraged. God knows what's going on, and he's working his purposes out, even though we can't see it. We're human. We see a slight little bit, but God sees the whole picture. Also goes on to talk about natural disasters, famines and earthquakes. And you think of the number of earthquakes that have been in the last few years, and we're particularly sensitive to it because we've got a daughter in New Zealand and they've had two fairly major earthquakes this week. Speaks about famines. We were talking last night, Richard, weren't we, about Zimbabwe and the state of Zimbabwe and the fact that 95% of the population in Zimbabwe are unemployed and they haven't got food. We can be discouraged. We can say, what's going on? And yet Jesus warned us that these things were going to happen, and in all these things, we need to keep on walking. We need to keep on walking in the truth and trusting in him. And then at the end, he went on to talk about personal attacks, not just about false teachers and human destruction, natural disasters, but he went on to talk about personal attacks. And I'll read those few verses to you. Just to remind you. Because again, he didn't mince his words. He said, and then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false teachers and prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And if any of you read Barnabas literature or Open Doors literature, you realise what's going on in the world today. You realise that many, many Christians who stand up for their faith are being persecuted for that faith, for simply believing in Jesus, simply saying that they're Christians. That doesn't happen to us, and perhaps it won't. Perhaps we'll always be far from that sort of persecution. But perhaps we won't. Perhaps that sort of persecution finally will come to us. And Jesus is saying, through all that, through everything that happens, keep on walking. We don't know what the future is for ourselves, for our children. As believers, in this country or anywhere else. But notice how Jesus says, don't be discouraged. Don't let your faith grow cold. Don't give up your love for me, but keep on walking. Walking in the light, walking in righteousness, walking in love, walking in faith, walking in obedience, and walking in the truth. The whole essence, really, as Christians, and I think we sang it in one of our songs, or Paul mentioned it, is we walk by faith, not by sight. We can see things going on around us. We can't really understand them. And we can be discouraged by them. But we can give in. We can become apathetic. And that's not what John wanted. It's not what Jesus wanted. He says, keep on walking. Keep your enthusiasm up. Keep on going. The writer to the Hebrews said these words. And they're good words to finish with, I think. Remember Hebrews, it's Hebrews chapter 12. You remember Hebrews 11, where he listed all the people who had lived by faith, that kept going, that kept the faith, that held on to their faith in very difficult circumstances. And then he said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and will not lose heart. You know, keeping on walking is not growing weary and not losing heart. And we need God to give us his strength and his ability to do that. But we in ourselves need to determine that that's what we shall do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these letters of John, which we've looked at, which have had such relevant truths, not just for the first century, but for the 21st century too. And Lord, help us to take them to heart. Lord, we look around us and we're so easily discouraged sometimes in the things that we see. We're so easily put down and silenced. Help us to be the people that you want to be. Help us to, Lord, not lose heart, but to keep our eyes fixed upon you and to keep on walking with you. And we thank you, Lord, that there was a time when you called each one of us to walk with you. And Lord, we pray you keep each one of us walking with you until, as Paul said, the journey is finished and the race is won. Amen.